The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
You can make a lot of mistakes in retirement planning, and so we thought we'd bring to you our favorite guest. Jeff has been on with us many, many times, and as far as I know, he and Ed Slott are the two brightest people I know with regard to IRAs and all the things about retirement planning. So we're pleased this morning to have Jeff Levine with us. Jeff is with Ed Slott and Company. He's a technical consultant with Ed. I always say I think he's going to be the next heir apparent to Ed Slott when Ed decides to retire. And he's a contributing writer and editor for Ed Slott's IRA Advisor Newsletter. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you? Listen, I'm headed in your direction in a couple of days for just one day. What's the weather like up on the East Coast, by the way?
Pretty nice right now, actually.
Is it?
I must say, we've actually had some decent weather after going through the wind and rain from Joaquin.
Yeah, I understand. You probably had it pretty bad up there. So, anyway, well, that's good. Good to know, because I'll be up there one day and didn't. I just thought I'd get my weather report in. All right, is there anything, you know, some people still haven't filed for a tax return. They have until October 15th. Is there anything that anybody needs to be doing right now with regard to retirement planning, or is that all done?
No, it's never done. It's a never-ending cycle. You want to have a good retirement, there's always something to keep in mind. Specifically, with the October 15th deadline in mind, there are three things that I could think of that are absolutely critical to double-check on before then. One is anyone who made a Roth conversion last year, meaning in 2014, and that could be January 1st, 2014, all the way up until December 31st, 2014, they should reevaluate that Roth conversion and decide whether or not they want to keep it, because they actually have up until this October 15th to recharacterize, which is a fancy tax word for undo that conversion. And especially in light of the recent market volatility, you know, for many years, basically, you put money into a Roth IRA in one year, and chances are it was higher the next year. Now, you know, there's a reasonable chance that what you converted last year may be lower. And if that's the case, that's one of the classic reasons to recharacterize or undo the conversion. For instance, if your listener converted $100,000 last year, and now it's only worth $80,000, why would anybody want to pay tax on $100,000 when you only have $80,000? So if the value of a Roth conversion has dropped, it probably makes sense to undo or recharacterize that conversion by October 15th. Of course, anyone who was on extension needs to make sure they file in the first place. That's, eliminating foolish penalties and, you know, everyone should pay their fair share of tax, but no more. And so there's no reason to not file if you haven't filed already. And some business owners, there's a lot of small business owners down in your neck of the woods. I've been there many times. And
right.
It's one of those things that, you know, small business owners oftentimes have no retirement plan for their employers or the employee place, or the workplace rather, or they have a SEP IRA. That's a very common plan for small businesses. And SEP IRAs can actually still, you can still make a contribution up until that October 15th deadline. So it may not be too late. And finally, the last thing I would say with regards to that October 15th deadline is it's the last day to pull out a mistake, an excess contribution made for 2014. So a lot of times people make contributions to retirement accounts that they weren't allowed to make. And that actually triggers a 6% penalty for every single year it remains in the account. So one of the most important things you can do is just double ensure that the contribution you made is actually a valid contribution, because if not, you've got about 9 days or so to get it out without a penalty. So those are kind of the key things that we look for in the retirement arena. But without a doubt, the biggest one this year is that Roth conversion. A lot of people make Roth conversions, and looking at recharacterizing that conversion before the deadline can have a meaningful impact on your long-term tax liability.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I've never in my 40-year career had anybody who made an excess contribution. What would cause a person to make an excess contribution? Where does that begin?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can do it. So one of them is simply by really making a contribution to an IRA that you're not allowed to do. For instance, let's say someone was making $200,000 a year and they were married. That puts them above the limit to contribute to a Roth IRA. They're actually phased out of being able to make that contribution. So if they do put that money into a Roth IRA, and we see that from time to time, they actually are prohibited from doing so. So that Roth IRA contribution is not allowed, and it's subject to that 6% penalty if it's not timely removed. You could also have someone who is not working. Sometimes people think that they can make IRA contributions with interest, dividends, capital gains, Social Security income. And all those forms of income are not valid to use for IRA contributions. Most people need to have earned income, you know, from a salary or self-employment income in order to be able to make an IRA or a Roth IRA contribution. So that's another way we see people make excess contributions, is if they think that the income from some source is valid. But it's not. Interest, capital gains, and dividends. Retired people generally cannot contribute to a retirement account, with very few exceptions. So that's another way. And the third way that we see, which is becoming increasingly more common, and it's a troubling sign, is people who take money from one retirement account, and for one reason or another, either they go beyond the 60-day limit to roll over money, or maybe it's an IRA rollover, and there's now a new interpretation of that rule, which allows only one rollover to be made every 365 days. If someone is not aware of those rules, maybe it's a second rollover within that time frame, that money cannot be moved into another IRA. It can't. You can't do a second rollover in that time. So that second rollover is actually treated as a regular contribution if someone makes it, and that could be subject to the 6% penalty. And we've seen people do this with hundreds, if not millions of, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And, you know, you can imagine a 6% penalty adds up very, very quickly on that amount of money. So people really need to be very, very cognizant. The rules are always changing. And if you're not aware of those rules, you could be caught by that trap.
That was a fairly recent rule, was it not? Maybe a
couple
years ago?
So the once per year rollover rule, everybody thought they knew it, including the IRS, mind you, forever. It was always on a per-account basis. So, for instance, if you had three IRAs, you could take a rollover from IRA 1, move it to IRA 2, and then separately take a distribution from IRA 3 and roll that over. And that was perfectly fine for a long time. Then, in January of 2014, last year, there was a tax court case, the Bob Rau case. And in that case, the court threw not only the taxpayer, but also the IRS and all of us a curveball. They said everybody has it wrong. It's not a per-account rule. It's a rule that applies to all a person's IRAs in aggregate. Now, the IRS had been telling everybody the wrong thing, and this was in their publication, mind you, forever. So they gave everybody essentially a year grace period, and they didn't start enforcing the new interpretation of that rule until 2015. So this is a brand new rule, really, for this year, 2015. And it impacts anybody with more than one retirement account, and that's a lot of people. So people really need to make sure they're aware of this new rule and that they're moving money in the right way. You know, trustee-to-trustee transfers, direct rollovers, moving money directly from one retirement account to another can help you avoid that once-per-year rollover disaster. So that's a better way to go, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, and that's the point that we're making here. The rules on IRAs and retirement planning change all the time. As I said, when I meet with Jeff and Ed a couple of times a year, we spend a lot of time just going on the changes of the rules. You need to stay up in touch with this, or you need to work with somebody who does, because it can cost you a lot of money. Anyway, Jeff Levine and I will be back.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've got Jeffrey Levine with us. Jeffrey is an IRA technical consultant. You know, I don't think that really describes the brilliance of this person. He is, and I call him the heir apparent to Ed Slott, because I know when Ed retires one day, he will turn it over. And the Slott organization, they're the, according to the Wall Street Journal, they are the nation's experts on IRAs and IRA planning and retirement planning. And we are pleased to have Jeffrey on with us this morning. Jeff is also a contributing writer and editor for Ed Slott's IRA Advisor. So, And you also are co-author of the 2012 edition. Now, I don't guess it's updated. It's a book, folks. And by the way, you should go on. If you haven't heard of Ed Slott, you probably have seen him on PBS. But go on their website. There's a lot of books there. There's one that's really good that Jeff was a co-author of, or contributing author of, the Retirement Savings Time Bomb and How to Defuse It. I think it's really excellent. go in there and take a look at some of those books. You'd be glad you did, because your retirement money probably is the biggest source of revenue for you in the future when you retire. For most people, your retirement account is about the only thing you have other than Social Security and hopefully a house that's paid for. So it's very important that you handle this well. Now, Peggy, you had some
questions.
And by the way, if you want to call in, Jeff will take calls. It's 844-305-7800. 844-305-7800, your opportunity to ask questions of a true IRA expert. So, Peggy, take it away.
We do. First of all, I have got a question. This comes out of the Denver area and a longtime listener. Thank you very much. Okay, his question is, if you have an option of putting money into a regular, you know, pre-taxed 401k as compared to a Roth 401k, how do you determine which one that you should use, or should you split those contributions between the two?
Well, that's a great question. The answer to that question is really dependent upon every person's personal circumstances. So you could have someone who should be putting money into a traditional 401k or a Roth 401k or some combination. It's a very difficult question to answer specifically for this person, but I can give them some of the things that they should look for. One of the things they want to keep in mind is, what is their tax rate now compared to what they think their future tax rate will be? That's one of the biggest questions when we look at traditional versus Roth accounts, because what you're doing when you put money into a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, either one, is you're paying the tax at today's rates in exchange for having a tax-free benefit later on in life. Now, if you think your tax rate will be meaningfully lower later on in life, it often makes sense to put money into the traditional side, get the tax break now, and then pay tax when your rate is lower in the future. But many people, including myself, believe that tax rates are far more likely to be higher in the future than they are to be lower. And that's not a question of whether we want that or don't want that. It's just a question of what I think is more likely. I have no crystal ball, though, and I don't know that for sure. But I would suspect that tax rates for most people are more likely to go up than down in the future. So that's one thing you want to keep in mind. The other thing is, how diligent of a saver are you? And I bring that up because a lot of times when people run Roth IRA projections, and I see this all the time, people come into the office and they've met with someone and they've done these Roth versus traditional projections. And what those projections typically do is they imagine that you're putting your money into your Roth IRA or Roth 401k today, not getting a tax break, but having that future value grow tax-free. So let's call it $10,000 into the Roth IRA, and in 15 years it's worth $30,000. So they imagine now you have a $30,000 pot of money tax-free. The other thing that they compare it to is they say, okay, let's say you put that $10,000 into the traditional 401k. And by doing that, you saved $3,000 in taxes this year. And you invested that $3,000 and the $10,000, is it worth more for you combined in that same period? And what I find is almost no one actually does that. That's very great, you know, it's a great mathematical projection, and I have no qualms with it from a mathematical point of view. But the reality is, I have yet to see someone who has calculated that amount and actually said, oh, I saved $3,000 in taxes, I'm going to take that $3,000 and invest it. No, they go and they spend it like everybody
else.
So the Roth IRA or the Roth 401k is really a forced savings account. You're not only saving the money into the account, but you're also saving, in a sense, the tax dollars that you would otherwise have to pay in the future. So it's very good in that way. And when in doubt, we always encourage people to look at diversification. People are very, very comfortable with investment diversification. It's a principle they really understand. No one or very few people will invest their entire life savings in one particular investment for fear of that one investment going bad. So tax diversification is kind of a similar idea, but because we don't know the future, having a little bit of money in a Roth pot, a little bit of money in a traditional pot, and a little bit of money in a taxable account like a regular brokerage account or bank account can be a smart move from a tax strategy or tax point of view, because we just simply don't know what the future holds. So hopefully that at least gives your listener a little bit of guidance there. Again, there's no right or wrong answer for everyone, and ultimately we're really shooting and throwing darts at a wall and guessing to an extent, because no one knows precisely what future tax rates will be.
Okay. I have another question. This one also from Denver. This is from one of our listeners, actually, in Fort Collins, as a matter of fact. And he said he's been very disappointed, basically, with his 401k performance. And the only gain that he feels that he got was out of some fixed interest stable account. And also he lost money on his foreign, Amerifunds, I guess he lost money. Now, while his is very conservative and his loss was much less than a lot of his coworkers, he wanted to know if there was some advice that would be the one thing that maybe someone could recommend to someone that might be in that same situation where they're not happy with their return on their 401ks. And to keep themselves from losing.
Sure. Unfortunately, most 401ks and similar plans, 403Bs, 457 plans, etc., most of them limit the participants, the people who are in the plan, to a handful of investments that are pre-chosen by the trustees of the plan. And so those may or may not be the right investments for your particular listener. Now, if they are young, meaning under 59 and a half and still working, generally they're very limited in terms of their ability to move the money from the plan elsewhere. But one of the things we encourage people is to always check and see if perhaps they're eligible to do what's called an in-service rollover. An in-service rollover allows you to take money out of your plan while you're working, and generally this applies to people after 59 and a half. And I don't know how old the listener is, but if that's the case, they may be able to move their money out of their plan to an IRA. And with an IRA, there's a much broader, typically, selection of investment options available. With IRAs, the only things you can't do in an IRA is own life insurance, collectibles, and S-corporation stock. Other than that, you can own just about everything, anything you want in the IRA. So that would be one thing your listener might do, is check to see if there's an in-service distribution provision he can take advantage of, and then he can move his money into an account where he would have more investment options. But other than that, the only other thing to do would be to work with an advisor, like Mike, who can help him establish a proper investment allocation within the plan. Because again, while you're working and you're under 59 and a half, you're generally stuck with those investment options, whether you like them or not.
Yeah, that's also an area where the 401k optimizer might be of help to him. But hey, Jeff, can you stay with us just a little bit longer? We're coming up to a break, and I'd like to ask you when we get back about Roth IRAs, which seems to be still a little complicated for a lot of people. So if you just stay with us for just a few moments, I'd appreciate it. Folks, stay with us. We've got a great show for you. Back in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We've been pleased today to have with us today Jeffrey Levine. Jeffrey is a CPA and a technical consultant of Ed Slott & Company, the world's foremost experts on retirement planning. And Jeff, just quickly, who can contribute to a Roth IRA and who cannot? What kind of assets can be contributed to that? Because I think people get confused about that.
Sure. So let's break it down into the two ways in which you can put money into a Roth IRA. The first one is by a direct contribution. The second is by a conversion. A contribution is new money that was never in a retirement account before. It's that $5,500, or if you're over 50 or 50 or over by the end of the year, $6,500 contribution. That must be made in cash. And in order to make that contribution, there are only two rules. One is you have to have compensation. Now, compensation is generally earned income. So for most people, you have to be working. The other part of that is you have to be below certain income thresholds. For married couples, filing joint returns, it's about $185,000. For single filers, it's about $125,000 of income. I'm giving, round numbers, approximate numbers, but you have to be below those amounts. If you're not, then you're actually phased out of making a Roth IRA contribution. Now, that's the rules for contributions. There's a second way to get money into a Roth IRA, and that's called a conversion. And that's where you're taking existing retirement account money, money that's in, let's say, a traditional IRA or a 401k, and you're moving it into a Roth IRA. And when you do that, you're paying tax on the amount you move. So if you move $100,000 from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA this year, you must add $100,000 to your income. But you can convert just about anything. You can convert stocks and bonds and mutual funds and ETFs and annuities. And it doesn't matter, or cash. So you can convert just about anything, but you can only contribute cash to a retirement account. So there are two ways in which people can get money into a Roth IRA. And if you're phased out of making those contributions because your income is too high, then obviously the only way you can look to do that is with a conversion. And that's not a bad idea.
Great explanation. I knew you would do that well. Listen, Jeff, thank you so much for being with us. I know you've got to run. I appreciate it. Hey, give your mom a big kiss for me, all right?
I will do so. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.